So we moved several times when I was growing up. Minnesota to South Dakota, South Dakota to Tennessee, Tennessee to Colorado, let alone all the things that happen when you go to college and begin moving on your own. But as a kid, we moved significantly at some very key moments throughout my life. And I remember the family meetings. We'd get invited to the table and we'd sit down and my parents would open up the atlas. Kids, an atlas is like if Google Maps was a book. And we'd talk about where we were going. We would talk about all the things we would miss about where we lived. We'd talk about how it would take some time to feel at home in the new place. And then we would arrive in that new place, and while boxes still abounded, right, not yet unpacked because that takes a while, my parents would get out the yellow pages and they would turn to the church section. And they would find the closest United Methodist Church to our house, and we would go check it out. Kids, the yellow pages, never mind. It might have taken a couple tries until we found the right United Methodist Church, but despite all the different moves in the many states, one of the most consistent parts of my life was a church with a Methodist cross and flame on its sign. It was a source of constancy and a lot of change in my life. In fact, the United Methodist Church as a whole was one of the places I would always feel at home, no matter where I was, whether we were just traveling on vacation and we would check one out, or we had just found a new place to call home and I wanted that sense of connection. I was baptized at Wesley United Methodist Church in Marshall, Minnesota. At First United Methodist Church of Aberdeen, South Dakota, I memorized my very first scriptures, the 23rd Psalm, the Lord's Prayer. I started going to vacation Bible school as a kid at Hillcrest United Methodist Church in Nashville, Tennessee. That's also where I was confirmed. When we moved to Colorado, we went to St. Luke's United Methodist Church in Highlands Ranch, where I got to join the United Methodist Youth Fellowship, and it's where I heard my call to ministry. That church, not only I ended up serving there as an associate pastor, but years before, when I was still in high school, that's where I preached my very first sermon. Then I went off to college, I became a student pastor, and I began running my very first weekly worship service for over 4 years at the Wesley Chapel at the University of Colorado in Boulder. Every time another building with a Methodist cross and flame on the door, ready to welcome me in and tell me I was home. Actually, that Wesley Chapel and being a part of the services and things there, it was actually there about 1,000 sermons ago. I did the math. I've hit about 1,000 unique sermons throughout my career at this point. It was at that place and in that time that I first began using the phrase, "May you be blessed and be a blessing." Like so many things about me, it was something my friends went through many different phases with. A couple of those friends from college are here this morning, and you can attest to this, right? First, everyone was thought, I was like, oh, that's cute. It's so Brad. And then I kept using, and they were like, is he going to ever stop using this? And then they just started to get annoyed with it and would roll their eyes. And then some of them came to a place of acceptance. And then others just started using that phrase to parody me. And then eventually I think folks just understood. Be blessed and be a blessing was just a part of who I was. May you be blessed and be a blessing. If you've ever gotten an email from me, it's there as my sign-off. May you be blessed and be a blessing. If you've ever gotten my voicemail, hi, you've reached Brad's phone. It's there. And as always, be blessed and be a blessing. If you've ever attended service here more than once, you've heard it in the benediction. May you be blessed and be a blessing. You may not even notice it anymore because it's just kind of there. We've been together long enough, right? Some of those things you're just like, yep, there it is. But it's an important part of how I see the world. It's also an important part of understanding our call to be God's people. To reflect on this a little bit more, I want to take a moment and be clear on what blessings are not. If I say this all the time, oh, be blessed and be a blessing, we should understand what I'm actually praying for you and what I'm not. People misunderstand this all the time. Something good happens and they're like, oh, thank you, God, for this blessing, like God is somehow handing out presents to some people and not to other people. Oh, you get a blessing and you get, it's not Oprah though, right? Not everybody gets them, just some people. That's a confusing theology for me. So let's talk about this. Winning the lottery is not a blessing. Staying healthy while other people around you take ill is not a blessing that you happen to be the one that didn't get sick. Having good weather on your wedding day is not a blessing. ignoring the bad things in life so you can walk around and project some sort of perfect hashtag blessed life on Instagram is not really a blessing. Money, health, opportunity, these are all good things. And they are wonderful to have in our lives. But they are not the blessings I speak of when I pray that you would be blessed and that you would be a blessing. When I pray that you would be blessed, and that's what this phrase is, it is a prayer. I am praying that you would be aware of God's presence in your life and appreciate all that you can in a life of gratitude. Because truly, the greatest blessing any of us can experience in life is to be aware of God's presence and be grateful. Now, it's not easy, that's for sure. There are times looking for God's presence seems like a fruitless venture. There are times that being grateful is something I can barely claw myself to. And so this is where one of the other great blessings comes in. Oh, there's not just one. The second greatest blessing after God's presence and a life of gratitude, the second greatest blessing is to have a community who will help you see God's presence. A community that will help you experience and know as you seek God's presence, as you see God's presence, and as you seek to share God's presence. And that is something y'all have done for me. You have been that blessing for me as I grew into a new phase of life and ministry over these last 10 years. We as a community have sought God's presence together. We've been looking for it every single day. And what a blessing it is to ask hard questions together. What a blessing it is to look deeply at the scriptures and reclaim them from folks who use them as a weapon and instead use them and see them as something that offers healing and wholeness to a broken world. What a blessing it is to step into the realities of life hand in hand instead of having to do so alone. That's a blessing. We have sought God's presence together, and it has blessed me to do so with you. And in that seeking, in the experiences we have shared, I have been blessed to see God's presence with you and in you. I've seen God's presence in our relationships. I have seen God's presence in our work in the community and the world. I have seen and experienced God's presence in our laughter, in our tears. I've seen it at the baptisms, in the weddings, in the funerals. I've seen it as we shared communion. I've experienced God's presence as we sang carols by candlelight together. I have seen the presence of God through your faithfulness as you ask over and over again, what can God do through me in this place? And God has done it. What a blessing to be surrounded by this community and to experience the presence of God because of it. I'm not sure if you've thought about it, but every single one of us have had a first day here. We all did, right? The first time we wandered in. And it was the beginning of a blessing we could not fathom at the time. And so my prayer for you, my prayer for me, is that we would be blessed. And that has been continually answered here. But this is a friendly reminder that that's not where the prayer ends. This is not a simple bless you. It's be blessed in what? Be a blessing. This is something else that we have shared together. In this place with you, we allow God to work through the life of this congregation. We do not come here simply to receive, though we do need to receive, and let's name that. We come in need, and we receive, and that is beautiful. And then we get to be active participants in making God's presence real. disaster relief, citywide food drives, Thanksgiving boxes, supporting local schools with supplies, housing families in our buildings and building houses in Guatemala, creating space for community to gather, supporting our Jewish neighbors with sacred space, hosting neighborhood events, sack lunches for those who are hungry, global mission partnerships, environmental education, stewardship of creation, caring for preschoolers every day, providing childcare during the teacher strike, sharing light and music during the season of Advent and Christmas, our quarterly collection of period products, diapers, school supplies and food, supporting neighbors in tough times, offering pastoral care not just to members but to anyone in need, fighting for marriage equality, racial justice, protecting the rights of immigrants and refugees. Folks, this is just the short list. The short list. This is what God is doing to bless the world through this congregation. And this is what it looks like to be a blessing. And this is what we do in community. And I trust, I know that each of you are also sharing that love and acceptance and justice and hope that we see in Jesus. I believe you're sharing it every single day. So not only do we have this as a community, we also realize that we're greater than the sum of our parts, and all of you live this as well. And because of your commitment to live in this way, your commitment to live like Jesus, God's presence is made real in this place and in this world. And as I opened with, that's the greatest thing. Not stuff, not opportunities, not comfort, not delightful conveniences. The real blessing is being in God's presence. And you do that. So thank you. Thank you for letting me be with you on the journey as we offer that to the world. Thank you for letting me be with you on the journey to offer that to those who call this place home. Thank you for letting me join you on the journey of offering it, not only to others, but the way you've offered it to me. The way you've allowed God to work through me as I seek to offer a blessing in return. I've been blessed by you. And it is my commitment that as I go, I will take the blessings I've received here with me, that I might go be a blessing because I got to call this place home. Now, when my family moved from Tennessee to Colorado, it was one of the tougher moves because I was right in the middle of eighth grade. I moved from Tennessee here with 2 weeks left in the first semester of eighth grade. It was a really awkward time, and I mean, the church in Tennessee had been a huge part of my life during some of the most difficult experiences of my life to that point. I think I've shared with you that was one of the places that helped me get through times that I didn't think I could make it. And having grown up there from like second grade through eighth grade, I'd spent so much of my life watching the older kids in that church be in the youth group. And I was finally old enough to go and be in it and be a part of it. I was in the junior high part, but finally I was in the youth group and I was about to leave it. The camaraderie of that group was the highlight of every week for me. And each Sunday we would close youth group with a word of blessing, a scripture that we would recite together. And on my last Sunday in Tennessee, as we stood there reciting that blessing, I remember thinking how much I would miss that. Right? That was that point of connection together, and I was desperately going to miss it, and I was quite teary. I think I held it back until we got to the car, because I didn't want anyone to see me crying about it, but then I just completely lost it. And then as we settled here in Denver, and we found our church, I remember the first night of youth group there. I mean, it was nice. All right, I had a good time. I think there were some games. We had some fun stuff. We learned a little bit. I met some people. And I had that, okay, this is going to be nice kind of a sense. I knew I would come to love the people there. And as the evening ended, we were invited to hold hands in a circle. And this group of people in my new home began to utter the same words that I cherished every week in my old home. See, what I didn't know then was that the blessing we shared was bigger than one circle of people. This wasn't a blessing that one group of people shared. It was shared across our connection. It was shared around the world. It had been shared for decades and generations. Because blessing is bigger than one place or one moment. And in that moment of blessing, I felt at home again. In that moment of blessing, I felt at home because I felt God's presence. And so I offer you these words today, a blessing thousands of years old found in the book of Numbers. If you know it, I invite you to join me. If you don't know it, I invite you to hear it now and learn it later. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Or to put it more simply, may you be blessed and be a blessing. Amen.